The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we're going to be speaking with Ray Shigalov, who's written a book called The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation. This is like how to put your meditation on paper. This is like really cool stuff. This is a really cool book. We are in the 3 weeks between Shivas HaBetamos and Tisha B'Av, which is a mourning period for the Jewish people, therefore playing a wonderful a cappella music for your listening pleasure. The portion of the week is Matas Masai, chapter 29, in the book of Numbers, all the way to the end of the book. We have an awesome Hasidic story at the end of the show. Stay tuned for that. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Greek Foreign Minister Nikolas Kotsias and promised to support the failing state of Greece as it deals with bankruptcy. Kotsias responded by saying that he was happy to be in Israel and knows that Israel is a close and important friend of Greece. Netanyahu also met with India's foreign minister this week. India is Israel's second largest trade partner, of course, behind the United States. Hamas is holding an Ethiopian Israeli who is mentally ill for illegal crossing into Gaza. The IDF tried to stop the man who has a history of running away, but he was arrested as soon as he jumped the security fence. Hamas said that they are not holding the man for ransom, as they only kidnap soldiers. Oh, they're so nice. Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas recalled the PA's ambassador to Chile after the ambassador said that the Palestinians are not anti-Semitic. Jews don't exist. Well, at least he did something right. Oscar Groing, a 94-year-old former SS sergeant, was found guilty of abetting murder as a guard at Auschwitz. Prosecutors are seeking a 3.5-year jail sentence for the time he gets out. It'll be 97 and a half. The Visionist Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer Hager, passed away at age 91 of a heart attack at his home in Haifa. More than 100,000 people attended his funeral. His son, Rabbi Yaakov Hager, is most likely soon the leadership of the Visionist dynasty. And finally, in case you were wondering, the U of M ranked 6th in the Hillel International Census of Jews on Campus in America with 4,500 Jewish students. State ranked 11th with 3,500. Rutgers of the State University of New Jersey ranked first with 6,500. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Ray Shigalov, who has written a book called The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation. How are you today, Ray?
Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Doing really well. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay, so you've written a book, and basically I would describe this book as putting meditative thoughts on paper, which is a pretty fantastic idea. But let me ask you a couple backup questions before we get into the book. First of all, meditation, Judaism. Do the two go together? People don't talk about Jewish meditation so much.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's very uncommon. And for me, it was so important, in fact, that it caused me to leave Judaism for a number of years because I just couldn't find it. And when I did, I was so surprised. And, it took a long time. It wasn't until I started learning Hasidus that I discovered this amazing tradition of Jewish meditation. It's very profound, mm-hmm. and in some ways very simple.
Okay. Talk about the profundity. Talk about the simplicity, please, Ray.
Well, my book, The Secret Art of Talking to God, really focuses on the most simple Jewish meditation, but also the most complex. You know, if you've ever watched Fiddler on the Roof and seen Tevye the Milkman talking to Hashem all through the day, that is actually a very profound meditation, the art of talking to God. And it seems very simple, you know, just talk to Hashem, say your thoughts. But in steps the Yetzer Hara, that part of us, that self-defeating part of us that gets in the way and tries to keep that from happening because it's so powerful. Because really, one of the most powerful things we can do, most important things we can do, is to create a close and loving relationship with God. And everything gets in the way of that, all the busyness of the day, all the things we have to do, the things we do for our family, making a livelihood, shopping, the internet, everything gets in the way of those few precious minutes that we might spend in prayer or in meditation, which is really preparation for prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the simple. What about some profundity, maybe?
Well, the profundity is in the simplicity.
In other words, what I'm asking is, what grabbed you that you were looking elsewhere for meditation, and finally you said, oh, I have it right here in my own backyard?
You know, that reminds me of a story, the story of Yankel the Tailor. You know, one night he had a dream, and his dream was that if he went to a bridge in the next village where there was a soldier on top and dug under that bridge, he would find a great treasure. So he did. He walked over to that village, and he started digging. And the soldier looked down at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I had a dream last night that if I dug here, I would find a treasure. And the soldier said, foolish man, I also had a dream. I had a dream that if I went back to the home of Yankel the Tailor and dug behind his stove, I would find a treasure there. Do you think I'm going to do that? So Yankel went back to his house, and he dug behind his stove, and sure enough, there was the treasure. So I went into every religion I could find and looked at all the different meditation practices, but nothing fit. They were just sort of odd. You know, it was a lot about emptying your mind or focusing on a meaningless statement. And then when I discovered, you know, that Jewish meditation practice is really about connecting to God, that's when it really fit my Jewish soul.
Okay, cool. Now, so you have a God-given talent. You're an artist, a very exceptional artist. How did you think of putting down meditation, which is a very inward thing? When you're meditating about self and lack of self. When you're drawing, it's like expressing self. So it's like two different things. One's inward, one's outward. So how did you come to put the two together?
Well, when I started to make my way back into Judaism and started taking Torah classes, I realized this was something I really wanted to remember and to be able to share. And in college, I would take notes and doodle around the margins. And then when I was finished, I threw away all the notes and kept all the doodles. So as I began taking notes, I decided to just do it in calligraphy. I had already mastered the art of calligraphy. And so I just started taking notes in this beautiful style, and people would come over and go, wow. And they'd read it, and they'd learn it along with me. So I have now, by the grace of God, I have more than 3,000 pages from more than 1,000 classes over the last 20 years of the most extraordinary teachers of our time. And these are my source notes from going to classes, trying to relearn, really understand what Judaism is from people who teach from the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from Rabbi Frand, from Rebbetzin Heller and Rebbetzin Youngeris, really from hundreds of different of our world Jewish leaders.
Okay.
And so a lot of them began to speak about this. My primary teacher for this particular form of meditation is Rabbi Yochanan Tauber, who is a Dayan in Los Angeles.
Okay. So now, it's very hard to really understand what it is that you're trying to do. Could you explain, say, page one of your book? Not the title page, or like that it has an ISBN number, the first number of like the actual book itself.
I'm not sure exactly which one, but would you like to start with a meditation?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly.
How simple it can be.
Yes, I want our listening audience to understand what it is that you're trying to focus on, because with the shortcomings of radio is we can't see what you're talking about, so you have to be very descriptive.
Okay. So, part of my background is that I'm a children's librarian. And, you know, after years and years of handling these wonderful picture books that give a very big, important message in a short, colorful space, that's how I created this book. You know, so each meditation, it's designed as a 30-day meditation book, so that each day you have a meditation prompt in beautiful calligraphy. You can put it up and focus on it. And then you have a meditation or conversation starter with God. And then there's a creative journal prompt so that you can record the insights that you receive from the meditation in these colorful graphic organizers.
Okay.
And you will receive a lot of insights. So this first meditation, I call it an instant connection to God. I'm really about instant inspiration in our busy times. So to do this, it's very, very simple. You can do it anywhere. You can do it anytime. And it's just a fabulous way to get rid of your stress, any anger, negative thoughts, anxiety that you might have, and to really connect to Hashem instantly. And you do it through the breath. So it's very, very simple. You know, in Bereishis, it says that Hashem blew the breath of life into us. And that didn't just happen once and it's over, but it's happening with every single breath we take. With every breath we take, Hashem is showing his love and trust that we're going to fulfill our purpose for which he created us. So when you breathe in, just right now, you could just focus on your breath and try to take a little bit of a deeper breath than you normally do. And when you breathe in and you take that deep breath in, just imagine that Hashem, that God, is breathing that breath of life into you, because that's the reality of what's really happening right now. God is breathing the breath of life into you. And when you breathe out any negativity that you have. If you're anxious, just breathe that anxiety out. Blow it away.
Okay.
So when you breathe in, again, you keep increasing your connection. Hashem is loving you and breathing that breath of life into you, and you breathe out your anger, your stress, your anxiety, all gone.
Okay. Now, so what are you using as a focal point from your book? If you could describe what we're looking at for this meditation, Reshar.
So for each of these meditations, I've written or taken a Torah thought from my 30 sketchbooks, you know, from all of those Torah notes, and layered it with some of my watercolors so that you have a single thought to focus on for the day or for that meditation.
So you've written the verse, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and God breathed into him a soul of life, and then augmented that through your artistic prowess.
In some cases, yes. You know, this. In some cases, it's just encouragement, like never give up. No matter how many times you've tried and failed, begin anew now and now and now and now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of encouragement, keep going, because trying, you know, creating a consistent meditation practice is really difficult, because like, everything will get in the way to try to stop you, because it's so important. So it's a way to say, okay, this is my program for the next 30 days. Each day you have a little bit of a different focus and a way to really bring it into your daily life, you know, because that's the key. It's not just that you're going on a mountaintop and connecting to God, but you're then bringing that into your daily life with your interactions, with your family, with your boss, with that driver in front of you who's being really annoying.
Understood. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Ray Shigalov, who's the author of a really cool book called The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation. What would you say would be the age appropriateness of this type of meditation relating to God, Ray?
I thought it would be primarily from teenagers on up to adults, but I found that my own students enjoy it. I work at Emek Hebrew Academy in Los Angeles, and families were buying it to do together as a family because it's done. I've written it in a very simple way, and it's so colorful and just inviting and creative.
Mm-hmm. So have you actually like incorporated this into your curriculum in your daily classroom?
I have not incorporated the meditations per se, but the concept of connecting to Hashem all the time from pre-first to eighth grade, who are my students, you know, we're always looking for the divine providence and the way that Hashem is taking care of us through our stories, through our research, through everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. Understood. How's the book been received, Ray?
People love it. You know, it's so unusual. There's nothing like this in Jewish publishing. And it's just, you know, another problem that we have is the suppression of our creativity. That's a lot of what my work is about as a creativity coach. You know, people have sort of forgotten that creativity muscle, and this really invites you to not just write your thoughts, but to draw them, doodle them, dance them, sing them, you know, to experience your joy of your connection with Hashem in all different ways.
Okay, I want to interject, because that's a really an interesting segue to the next thing. Creativity coach. I've heard of, say, life coaches, of people who have, like, problems, like, finding themselves getting organized, and they have these people that are certified life coaches. What would a creativity coach do?
So my work as a creativity coach is to really help people figure things out and to do it in ways that circumvent logic and the intellectual brain, which is very limited, and to tap much more into the infinite nature that we have and that we are. And there are ways to do that. You know, Hashem created us in his image as creative beings. And a lot of times that is just squeezed out of us through the whole long educational process, because the focus is on the left brain, not on the right brain. So I just help people tap into those special talents that they have, the ones that God gave us to do our work with pleasure, and to bring those out, to bring more energy into your day, to nourish you, to nurture your family, and just to bring delight to the very serious work that we have of creating this world as a dwelling place for God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know me, for example. And when it comes to like artistic creativity, I was traumatized by art teachers from the time I was in kindergarten.
You are not alone.
My kindergarten teacher said that she thought my finger painting was ugly. I mean, it's just like,
oh no.
Yes, and this was like, you know, because, well, I didn't think it was so good myself, but being at 5 years old, because I was looking at this little girl down the other end of the room, and she had like finger painted this really cool picture. It looked like just like a quarter with George Washington and everything. And I had this like mess. But anyway, from there it went to like my every ensuing art teacher up until ninth grade, which is the last time I had to take art. And by 10th grade, I was like relieved. I don't need to take art. So I was deeply traumatized. My wife, who is an art teacher, has said that, and she's taught everybody. She sat me down and she said, okay, so I want you to envision a duck and draw a duck. So I drew a duck. And it had four legs, and it would look really cute. But then she kind of like laughed. I said, "Why are you laughing at my picture?" And she said, "Ducks have two legs." So I mean, this is like, what can be done with someone who's like, a creative cripple, as the case may be, Ray Shigalov?
Well, you know, that's a really great question, and you totally underestimate yourself, because we look at creativity in a very broad way. Creativity is not just about being an artist. Look at you. You are an artist on the radio. You know, I've listened to your shows, and they're wonderful. You drill so deep with people, and you cover such interesting topics, and you do it in such a lively way. That's your creativity.
Okay. Can I meditate on that?
Absolutely.
Give me a for example now. And I'm getting really personal. The 40,000 people that are listening are going to see what's going on over here. So I'm meditating. I want to get closer to God. I have a radio show, The Jewish Hour, and I just naturally have this way of talking. And God gave me this very resolute voice. And so how does that get me closer to God when I'm, say, I'm in a stressful situation?
Well, you know, getting closer to God through this form of meditation, of talking to Hashem, you know, the first step is that you're getting yourself alone with Hashem. You're making an appointment just like you made an appointment with me to speak here. And you're speaking with Hashem, you know. A creative way, a creative exercise for you to do in your meditation would be to interview Hashem as if it was a radio show. What would Hashem be saying to you? What questions would you have for Hashem? And then, you know, have that sort of fun, lively, interactive meditation. And when you're done, record it, draw it, speak it, and see what insights you get from that.
You're reminding me of a story. I once heard a story. There was a rabbi who was the chief rabbi of Tehran. For about 70 years, he was well into his hundreds when he passed away. And people would ask him, of course, somebody's that old, they always ask, so how do you live so long? Yeah. So he responded, I never asked God why, because I was always afraid he would say, oh, you want to know? Come, I'll tell you.
So that's true. You know, and Chassidus teaches us, if you want to be a happy person, don't ask God why, ask God what.
Okay.
What can I do about this? What can I do to make this better, to bring more light out of the darkness?
Okay. Now, you've got a great interactive website. It's called holysparks.com, and I urge all of our listeners, and everybody, if you're not listening, you could go to that. Tell us about the website and what you're doing with your website specifically. It's not just a vehicle for selling books.
Right. So the website, this version of the website is actually quite new. But my intent is to bring out, to really help people like you who were turned off from your creativity when you were small, you know, to really tap into what are our talents as the Jewish people, because we are so close to the time that Mashiach is going to be revealed. The way to decrease the anti-Semitism and the violence and to bring in, usher in that great era of peace peacefully, is to tap into our talents, bring out that new energy, and use it to enrich our world and do acts of kindness and really refine ourselves. So I'm building out this website as a portal for instant inspiration, first of all, because we all need to be inspired, and a place where you can just really take some time out and have a mini-retreat and just explore who you are, what are your talents, how can you serve God, and do it really delightfully. I just recently started a series of 15-second videos. And when I talk instant inspiration, I'm really talking instant inspiration, where I'm actually writing out some of these thoughts. You can watch my hand that's sped up and see some of this incredible treasure of Jewish wisdom that we have, that I've been collecting in my notebooks over the last 20 years. I don't want to keep them under the ground behind Yankel's stove. You know, I want to bring it out so that other people like me don't realize what an incredibly rich spiritual heritage that we have as Jews, that we can access it and utilize it to come closer to Hashem and to bring out our creativity, to delight ourselves and the people around us in whatever way that is for us, and then to really prepare the world to be a dwelling place for God. Mm-hmm. And I prepared for all of your listeners a free sample of this book, The Secret Art of Talking to God. They can go to holysparks.com, and up in the menu, you can click on the free link and actually download a sample that you can try out. And if you like it, you can order the book on Amazon.
That's awesome. Okay, I notice also, concerning meditation and what we've been talking about Jewish meditation, many of the listeners of the Jewish Hour are not Jewish. So how does this relate to them, Reg Shatov?
Well, you know, I have a lot of followers on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, people who contact me who are not Jewish. In fact, I think I have probably more buyers of the book who are not Jewish than who are even Jewish. And a lot of them just really, there's something about what they're doing in their own religion that just isn't a good fit for them. And they want to know what is authentic from Torah and how does it apply to them. So I have on my website a place where you can learn a little bit about the seven special mitzvahs for people who are not Jewish. And, you know, especially with this book, The Secret Art of Talking to God, one of those seven mitzvahs is prayer, is connecting to God. And so it's really very universal for everyone.
Indeed. That's going to wrap us up. Give us the website again, please, Ray.
It's holysparks.com. Mm-hmm. And that's HOLYSPARKS.com, holysparks.com. And then click on that free link to get your free sample of The Secret Art of Talking to God.
Okay, terrific. This
and
is
be sure to connect, and people can connect with me on Facebook, on Instagram. I love to have interaction. I'm starting a new group called Nurture Your Jewish Soul, especially for Jewish women to really get clear about who they are, what they want to do, and have some support in accomplishing that.
Okay, so one final question. Okay, so let's say I've gone through the 30 meditations. What do I do now?
So some people tell me that they use one of the meditations for an entire month. You know, it's kind of a selection. So you can start the whole cycle again. You can create your own way of doing it. Basically, what you're doing is you're secluding yourself with God, with the master of the universe, and getting in touch with your own soul and the infinite nature of who you are. And what you do in that space is infinite. There's no end to it.
That's awesome.
You can just enjoy the process.
Okay, that's terrific. I want to thank you so much. Again, our guest has been Ray Shigalov, who has written a book which is available on Amazon called, wait, I got to pull it up again, It's Talking to God.
The Secret Art of Talking to God.
The Secret Art. Well, I went off the web page, so I had 1 second. I'm waiting for my computer to reboot. Yes, no.
It's The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation.
Okay, there it is. And if you just want to get it on Amazon, you don't have to type all that. You can just type in The Secret Art of Talking to God. But thank you so much, Ray, for coming on, and you've been a big inspiration.
Thank you very much. Bracha v'hatzlacha with all of your important work. It's been really a pleasure talking to you, and I so enjoy listening to your shows.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have, for your listening pleasure, this is a Benny Friedman standard at this point, sung by A.K.A. Pella, also known as Al Capella. Yesh Tikva, there's always hope. Shine.
שחור כי גם זה יעבור והכל יסתדר כי השם יעזור יש תקווה אם נשאיר כולנו יחד יש אמונה חזקה מכל הפחד לא ניפול לא נירד כי אנחנו לא לבד יש לנו השם אחד יש תקווה אם נשאיר כולנו יחד יש אמונה
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Coming up next, this is the Maccabees with a liturgical piece called Lecha Dodi. Hey-o.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. One more piece of song. This is Chitty Bim. This is an eighth day song, sung by a cappella. Let's listen.
Can you blow that whistle? You say cheery whistle, I say bum. We're gonna show you how to do it and we'll have some fun. Cause one's just one, but together we're number one. Can you blow that whistle? You say whistle, we say bum, bum, bum. Stay with you through the joy of sorrow. Day and tomorrow, I'll cry with you when you lose it tomorrow. I'll dance with you when you win, I'll say bravo.
Just one,
but together we're number one.
Yes, one, just one,
but together we're number one. I say chitty, you say bum. We say chitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum. I say chitty, you say bum. We say chitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum. I'll dance with you through the rhythm staccato. I'll be with you through the joy and the sorrow. I'll stay with you today and tomorrow.
Just one,
but together we're number one.
Yes, one, just one,
but together we're number one. I say chitty, you say bum. We say chitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum. I say chitty, you say bum. We say chitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum. Chitty, bitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum. Chitty, bitty, bitty, bit, bum, bum.
While you work it, when you hear it, don't stop it. Cause I love it when you sing it, sing it, sing it to me. Nah, just really let that whistle go, 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 go. Yeah, don't you let that whistle go, go, go.
Can you blow that whistle? You say cheery whistle, I say bum. We're gonna show you how to do it and we'll have some fun. Cause one's just one, but together we're number one. Can you blow that whistle? You say whistle, we say bum, bum, bum.
Chitty, bitty, bitty, bim, bum, bum. Chitty, bitty, bitty, bim, bum, bum. Chitty, bitty, bitty, bim, bum, bum. Chitty, bim, bum, bum.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Matas Masa. It is a double portion, ending the book of Numbers, starting with chapter 30. It's actually quite weird because it starts on verse 2. Last week ended on verse 1 of chapter 30. But we can't take any credit for that because it was the Catholic Church that actually assigned numbers and verse to the Bible. Jews had their own way of numbering it up until that point. But for some reason, it got adopted even by Jews just to make life universal for everybody. And it doesn't, you know, it's neither here nor there. One of the major focuses of this week's portion is an enumeration of the 42 journeys that the Jews made in the desert. This portion, keep that in mind just a second. I'm going to take a divergence from that. Portion of Matas Masai is always read during the 3 weeks. Sometimes it's read separately. The first week of the 3 weeks is Matas, the second week is Masai, the third week is Bamidbar. Mostly it's the first week is Pinchas, the second week they're doubled Matas Masai, and the last week is Bamidbar, which would be next week. So if being that be the case, and it's set up such specifically by Ezra the scribe 2,500 years ago, that the portion of, did I say Bamidbar? Sorry, Devarim, the portion of Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy has to begin before the commemorative holiday of Tisha B'Av. 2 weeks before that's going to be Matas Masai. Similarly, also we have that there were other portions that had to be set up. One of them was the portion of the beginning of Numbers had to be read before Shavuos, which meant that 2 weeks before, the Parsha of Behar B'Chukosai was read, and that had the 49 curses that God told Moses would happen to the Jewish people for disobedience. He also mandated that the portion of Nitzavim, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, be read the week before Rosh Hashanah, which meant 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, was the portion of Kisava, which contains the 98 curses, exactly double, that Moses warned the Jewish people for disobedience. Those two portions are read 2 weeks prior to the holidays of Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah as a way of a time for cleansing, self-respecting, self-reflection, getting yourself together before those major holidays of the divine revelation on Sinai and the beginning of the new year when things are just like all starting up afresh. So here, 2 weeks before Tisha B'Av, we're reading about the Jews journeying through the desert. And how then does this become part of the preparation and purification which is required before Tisha B'Av, this day which commemorates the destruction of both temples? If you look at the journeys, and you kind of like plod them on a timeline. You know, we say that the Jews were wandering in the desert for 40 years. That's the language that we find in the Bible, wandering. And we have this vision in our mind with the Jews wandering, that they're following after the goats, and there's no rest, and there's no peace, and it's so horrible because they're wandering around the desert. If you look at it, you see what happens. Okay, so there's 42 journeys that are mentioned from the time that they left Egypt until they reach the Jordan opposite Jericho. 42. So that means they only stopped in 42 places in 40 years. That's like a little over one a year. Now, let's analyze that. The first year from Egypt to Sinai was 13 journeys. The last year, when they were already told, okay, it's time to go to Israel. So just in the last year, they traveled 11 journeys. So that's 26 out of 42. So now, in a course of 38 years, we've gone 18 journeys. So now it's like one every 6 months. Let's take that away. They were in Kadesh Barnea for 19 years. So that means their aimless wandering of 19 years was 17 journeys. So they're not aimlessly wandering around, no. Why is it called wandering then? If they weren't wandering, 19 years in one place is not exactly, you could become a citizen of the United States in five. 19 years in one place and it's still called wandering? Well, they didn't build houses. They were living in tents. Okay, good. But there are people who are in the desert that live in tents their whole lives. That's not a criteria. Wandering means that they're not home. They're not where they were supposed to be. That's what the definition of wandering is. The Jews didn't belong in the desert. They belonged in Israel. Now, here we are in the year 2015. And we have the commemoration of Tisha B'Av a week in a week from now, in 2 weeks from now, excuse me. We're not where we are right now either. Okay, so we're not living in tents. But this is not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in Israel with the Mashiach, with a temple. This is not the status quo. But you could say, look, everything's running so nicely. The paradigm I have is three-car garage. You know, we've got three-car garages. Our kids are in wonderful schools. People, Jews, are all over the place. It amazes me. I have done this many, many times. Let me see. I don't know if I ever did this with my trusty board up, Ben. Ben, how many Jews would you say live in Michigan?
In Michigan, then?
Yeah, population 8 million in Michigan.
I would guess of 500,000.
Okay. So Ben is saying that a population of 8 million people in Michigan, there are 500,000 Jews. Yeah, Ben, you're falling to the same class as everybody else. There is about 72,000 Jews that live in Michigan. Okay. I once asked somebody, how many Jews do they think they lived in America? And he said, how many? 310 million? He said, oh, there must be 60 million Jews that live in America. No, it's 6 million. So why is it that there's this perception of us being so many? It's because we do really good. Even in the places that are not ours, we do exceptionally well. That's sort of like our motto, survive under duress and make the best out of everything so that we wind up with the three-car garages. What do you think was happening in the desert? 19 years in one place. Did they have to work? They didn't have to work. They had manna from heaven. Their clothes grew with them and were laundered constantly by the clouds of glory. They didn't have to lift a finger. They had no worries. Everything was taken care of. And they had Moses there too. It didn't get any better, except it wasn't where they were supposed to be. God was kind to the Jewish people in the desert. God is kind to us today, to all of us who live in the diaspora, and the land of Israel, or excuse me, the state of Israel, is in the diaspora as well. But it says that the holiday of Tisha B'Av, we can call it specifically a holiday, will be the greatest holiday on the calendar once Mashiach comes, because now it's commemorated as the Black Day, all the terrible things that happened on that day, including the destructions of both Jewish temples in Jerusalem. But as black as it was, that's how light it's going to be. And then we can understand the true kindness of God, because right now we're being fooled. We're getting just chump change. Speaking of chump change, let's take a commercial break and we'll be right back. We got the Hasidic Story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The best way, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. I was actually very tickled that our guest today, she wanted to know who I was. You know, like, am I worthy of her to? And no, she wasn't checking me out that I should be worthy, but she wanted to know what kind of interview type person I was. So I said, okay, go to my website. And she was just, she loved my website. So where you find archived editions of the radio show, you'll find the U Parsha, the E Parsha, the Hasidic U story, contact page. You got a question? I get all the time. I have to set a certain part of my day every single day to answer queries and comments that come in from RabbiFinman.com on the contact. So do that. It's no problem. Listen, that's what I'm here. I'm Mr. Approachable. You'll also find the very important donations page. We're in the middle of July, and we still haven't paid for June yet. So we did okay. We got April, May together in June, and it's sort of like it comes in chunks and whatnot. I stopped worrying because I'm not going to do like the Jews in the desert. Every morning woke up with manna outside their tents, but every night they went to sleep with nothing. We're worried. Is there going to be manna tomorrow? 40 years worth. So I don't worry about such things. I know that the Almighty is going to come through. And if the Almighty so chooses, you're going to be the Almighty's agent to keep the Jewish hour on board. So go to the computer, go to RabbiFinman.com, click on the donations page, click the donation of your choice, add a donation. It doesn't matter how big, how small, it's all tax deductible. It's considered part of your tithing if you do that type of stuff. And if you don't, you should be tithing. Don't like using internet for computer credit card donations, I understand. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. We've got a story for you. There was a person by the name of Yosef of Polotsk. That was already in the time when people were still just at the beginning of taking on last names. He would visit the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, on occasion. Polotsk was evidently not that far from Lubavitch. I am not that familiar with Belarus geography. He wasn't the sharpest hack in the box. The Tzemach Tzedek would say discourses publicly that I'm currently in the middle of learning these discourses, and they are hard. And people would stand, he would recite them orally, and then people would write them down and review them. And he didn't catch a whole lot. But what he did catch was that when Abraham was in the world, that God's veritable attribute of kindness complained, I have nothing to do because Abraham is here. Because Abraham bestowed acts of kindness and did kindness, drew down the kindness into the world simply by possibly lending somebody money. So he went back to Polotsk. And what did he do? He went to a friend and he said to him, can I borrow 5 kopecks? This is what you need 5 kopecks for. So he said, you know, sometimes you need 5 kopecks. He did not need 5 kopecks. That's like borrowing a quarter. And then he took the 5 kopecks and he borrowed money from somebody else, gave this person the 5 kopecks, gave that person back the 5 kopecks. And like this, so now he had this whole ring of people with whom he would borrow from. And somebody caught up to him and said, you know, you're just like playing the circle game. He said, no. I'm getting people to lend money to do an act of kindness. And part of his daily routine as a merchant was that he got people to lend money. The next time that he visited Lubavitch, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek called him in and asked him to explain his day. And he explained what he does. And he says, well, what about charity or acts of kindness? He said, and he explained about this lend thing that he does, this circle thing that he does. And the Tzemach Tzedek smiled at him and blessed him with wonderful blessings for success. When he left, his son, who later became the next Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Marash, said, why did you make such a big fuss about this storekeeper? The Tzemach Tzedek said, when I saw him, I saw that he was enveloped by divine kindness. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Pastors and pastoral staff, Faith Talk 1500 is inviting you to the 4th Annual Faith Talk 1500 Pastors Masters Golf Outing.